continue. If I were to now give you a part of Dua Kumail, you'll find people straight away are able to recite Dua Kumail like they've memorized Surah Al-Fatiha in their life. It has a miracle to it. من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري أقسم صادقا لأن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين ولأصرخن إليك صراخا مستصرخين. Straight away the people are in reply. People know the power of this dua. There's not a part in this dua which you can put in any mosque in the world on a Thursday night. You'll find people are able to recite it straight away. And some of those lines of those du'as are devastating. من لي غيرك يا الله. Who do I have other than you? Truly, who do we have other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أقسم صادقا لأن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن بين أهلي ضجيج الآملين. I swear, even if you put me at the bottom of hell, I'd still call out your name, ya Allah. Isn't it? You put me at the bottom of hell, ya Allah, I still will call out your name. You find these lines in Dua Kumail, Dua Sabah from Kumail, Dua Kumail from Kumail. Then you find Kumail ibn Ziyad saying to us quite beautifully, he says, you know, I received all this knowledge from Ali ibn Abi Talib. I'd see Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib giving me du'as, giving me sayings, until they had their most monumental discussion ever. This discussion is the most famous discussion between Ali ibn Abi Talib and Kumail ibn Ziyad. And it's a discussion which philosophers continue to study until today. And until today, no philosopher has grasped the meaning. Hadith al-Haqiqa. The narration about the reality. He says, Ali ibn Abi Talib was riding his horse. I was behind him. And while he's riding his horse and I'm behind him, I called out to him, what's the truth? He said, sorry. He said, what's the truth? Who are you? And he looked at me and he said, what have you got to do with the truth? He said to him, when you come to the door of bounties, it is known that you never turn anyone away. To which Imam Ali looked at him and said, what sprinkles in you overflows in me. You want to know the truth, who I am? You want to know the truth. You think you're close to me and you think you want to know the truth? You think you know what the truth is as to who I am? He said, I'll tell you what the truth is. He said, the truth is the revelation of the splendor of the divine majesty without a sign. He said to him, I don't understand what you mean. Tell me more. He said, it's the defacement of the conjectured through the clearing of the known. He said, I don't understand, but continue telling me, what is the truth? He said, it's the rendering of the veils by the triumph of mystery. He said, tell me more. He said, it's the divine attraction, but through the apprehension of the known. He said, tell me more. He said, it's that light of the morning eternity that continues to radiate through the unity of the temples and their disunity. What's he saying? What's he saying? So you want to know who I am? You want to know who I am? Focus on each line. Kumail says, I did not have a clue what he meant. You're asking who I am? You're asking me, what's the truth? What's the truth? The truth is the revelation of the splendor of the divine bounties without a sign, and the conjectured defacement through the clearing of the known, and the rending veil by the triumph of the mystery, the divine attraction the divine attraction through the apprehension of the known, and the morning light of eternity that radiates through this unity of the temples. That's who I am. Will anyone know who Ali ibn Abi Talib is? Kumail said he just continued riding the horse and I continued riding behind. You know what that is? That's Ali ibn Abi Talib clearly showing you will never ever ever in your life understand my relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think many of you are saying subhanallah and you're wondering, what did I just say? And even myself, when I read that, I continue until today to ask, what is Ali ibn Abi Talib saying? Kumail says, when I lost Ali ibn Abi Talib, I lost the secrets of Allah on earth. But then from the 40th year after Hijrah, until 40 years later, we have no record of Kumail ibn Ziyad in history. And that's why the most important question historians ask until today, why was Kumail ibn Ziyad not at Karbala? 40 AH, Imam Ali dies. There is no Kumail until after Karbala by 21 years. Where was Kumail at Karbala? And I will go on the record to say, I have asked the highest scholars in the Muslim world, and none can answer this question. And I defy anyone to go out and find me the answer. I will reward them. But there is no answer as to where Kumail was in 61 AH. No one knows. It's as if when Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib died, he exiled himself away. It's as if he knew the pressures on Imam al-Hasan were too much. And then at Karbala, it's as if he was in Kufa, but when Ibn Ziyad entered Kufa, he realized he had to leave. And that's why there is a Kumail al-Hamadani who is mentioned in Kufa. And I'm of the opinion that the Kumail al-Hamadani who Ibn Ziyad had in prison, who had helped Mukhtar get out of prison, that could be Kumail ibn Ziyad in Nakhai. Because we said the Nakha'is and the Hamadanis were both in Yemen, isn't it? So it could be a confusion on the surname. They could have said Kumail al-Hamadani when it's meant to be Kumail al-Nakha'i. What do you find therefore? You find that Kumail ibn Ziyad, all of these years, there is no mention of him whatsoever. Until when? Until Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi becomes governor. All these years, no mention of Kumail. Then when Abdul Malik ibn Marwan becomes the leader of the Islamic State, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan decides to employ Hajjaj bin Yusuf as his governor. Kumail had been silent for years. Many years, Kumail had not said anything. When Hajjaj came in, Hajjaj's first public statement, what would he say? What do people do on Eid al-Adha? So they replied to him, Master, people sacrifice sheep on Eid al-Adha. He said, very well, from today sacrifice anyone called Ali, Hassan or Hussein. Statement number two, Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi, I wish I was at Karbala, so I could have been the man who beheaded Hussein when he was on the ground. This Hajjaj bin Yusuf had caused absolute torment in the Islamic State. Kumail ibn Ziyad had retired himself from all Muslim affairs, until he heard Hajjaj bin Yusuf was now ruling as a governor. Kumail at the time was around 82, 83 years of age. Hajjaj bin Yusuf had an army general called Abdul Rahman ibn Ashraf. Abdul Rahman ibn Ashraf had gone out and fought in many parts of the Muslim world. Hajjaj looked at him and he wrote a letter to him. He said to him, continue in your fighting. Abdul Rahman bin Ashraf wrote back to him, he said, my soldiers are tired now. They can't continue fighting. Please allow us a rest. Hajjaj wrote back to Abdul Rahman bin Ashraf by saying what? He wrote back to Abdul Rahman bin Ashraf by saying that very well, curse be on you and curse be on your soldiers. Abdul Rahman bin Ashraf, when he heard this, he said, a man like you doesn't speak to me like this. He wanted then to fight Hajjaj bin Yusuf. When Abdul Malik ibn Marwan heard, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, what did he say? Abdul Malik said, okay, very well, I'll remove Hajjaj and I will ensure he doesn't remain in power. Abdul Rahman ibn Ashraf, what did he say? Abdul Rahman ibn Ashraf said, well, you're the one who instated Abba Hajjaj, therefore we'll fight you. Abdul Malik quickly brought Hajjaj back. Abdul Rahman ibn Ashraf raised an army to fight Hajjaj. In that rising of the army, there were a group of men by the name of the Qurra. Qurra means those who recite or those who memorize. They were the memorizers of the Quran and the teachers of the Quran. They were part of that army which wanted to have another Karbala, meaning rising against another Umayyad puppet. Part of that army rising against another Umayyad puppet was an 83-year-old Kumail ibn Ziyad. How old? 83. Part of that army was Sa'id ibn Jubair, one of the great companions of our fourth Imam. There are few great companions of Imam Zain al-Abidin, but none as high as Sa'id ibn Jubair. Hajjaj managed to overpower Abdurrahman ibn Ashraf. He called Sa'id ibn Jubair. What's your name? He said, my name is Sa'id ibn Jubair. He said to him, no, from today I will call you Shaqi ibn Qusair. Sa'id means happy. So he called him Shaqi, means the worst, the angry. Ibn Qusair, Jubair Qusair. Qusair means the one who's broken. Sa'id looked at Hajjaj. He said to him, that's the name my mother gave me, Hajjaj. He said, may you and your mother both burn in hell. He said to him, and who are you to tell me about hell and to tell me who'll burn in hell? He said, I have more wealth than you will ever imagine. I'll tell you if you go to hell or no. Sa'id looked at him and he said to him, well, at least I will be next to my master, Amir al-Mu'mineen, in heaven, and I'm confident of that. And my master told me that I'll be killed in this way. Hajjaj looked at him and he said, may God curse your master as well. He laid down Sa'id bin Jubair on the ground. As he's laying him down, about to behead him, Sa'id bin Jubair says, wherever your face turns, it turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he wanted to behead him, Sa'id looked at the ground again and he said, from this ground we created you. And it's in this ground that we're going to return you. And you're going to rise from here. Eventually Hajjaj executed him. When he executed him, Hajjaj made an announcement. Where's that lover of Abu Turab? They said to him, who? He said, Kumail ibn Ziyad al-Nakha'i, the lover of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the man who was loyal to him. Where is he now? He has the audacity to rise against me. They looked towards him. They said to him, what do you want us to send the message? He said, go and tell the old man, his wife and his daughters are in my prison, and I enjoy having ladies in my prison. We don't need to go further than that. So tell him that I'll be waiting, unless he wants his wife and his sisters and his daughters to be inflicted with more of my punishment. Kumail ibn Ziyad at the time was an old man. He got his stick out. They said to him, Kumail, these people want you. Why don't you just hide? He said, no, no more, no more. A man who insults my master is not a man I hide from. How dare he insult? And he says, where are the lovers of Abu Turab? I'm a lover of Abu Turab. Where is he? Eventually, when Hajjaj caught him, he said to him, so you're Kumail ibn Ziyad al-Nakha'i? He said to him, yes. He said, I heard stories about you. When you were younger, you spoke out against the great Khalifa Uthman. He said, yes, that's me. He said, and I heard you're the one who tried to speak out against Muawiyah. He said, yes. He said, I heard you're the one who loves Ali ibn Abi Talib, isn't it? You love Abu Turab? He said to him, yes, I love Abu Turab. He said, curse be on you and on Abu Turab. Then he looked at him and he said, dissociate from Abu Turab and I'll let you go. You know the reply he gave is one of the most beautiful replies in Islamic history. And a reply all of us have to keep in our head forever. He looked at him and he said, show me a way better than Abu Turab's way, I'll follow it. Isn't it? Show me a way better than Ali ibn Abi Talib. If there's a better way, I'll follow it. But there is no better way than the way of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He got Kumail and he ended up beheading Kumail for his love of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Today, where is Kumail buried? In the land of Kufa, in the area of Hannana. Those of you who've been to Kufa, you go and visit the great, beautiful grave of Kumail ibn Ziyad in Nakhai. Without a doubt, a man whose legacy with his du'as remain with us until today. His legacy with his words of wisdom remain with us until today. His martyrdom in the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib remains with us until today. And that's why, without a doubt, he highlighted for us one thing. Is there a way better than the way of Ali ibn Abi Talib? There isn't. Therefore, any time in your life you need to sacrifice anything, sacrifice it so that the message of Ali ibn Abi Talib remains alive. And that message of Ali ibn Abi Talib was exactly the message they wanted to destroy on the 10th of Muharram. The message of Ali and the sons of Ali was what they sought to destroy. Imam al-Hussein, even when he came out on the 10th of Muharram, he said to them, why do you want to kill me? What have I done wrong to you? They replied to him by saying, revenge for your father and what your father did to us in the wars. All of the atrocities at Karbala were out of vengeance for Ali ibn Abi Talib. But did Ali ibn Abi Talib's grandsons look after his message on the 10th of Muharram? Without a doubt. How many grandsons did Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib have on the 10th of Muharram? A grandson from one side, Aun. Another, Muhammad. Another grandson, Ali Akbar. Other grandsons, one after the other. And he was represented by his grandsons in the most valiant way. But which grandson was willing to give his life away like the grandson that is Qasim ibn al-Hasan? Imam al-Hasan, how many sons did he have on the 10th of Muharram that he gave away? He gave away 7 sons on the 10th of Muharram. 7 sons towards the cause of Imam al-Hussein. And you know, each of these sons, their stories are beautiful, I tell you. Each one of them gave their life away for the message of Aba Abdullah. You find, for example, of the grandsons who gave their life away, you find Abdullah, the son of Imam al-Hassan. You know this Abdullah, the son of Imam al-Hassan? It is absolutely beautiful, the narration about him. Imam al-Hussein was lying on the ground in Karbala, looking like a hedgehog. You've seen the hedgehog? The narrations say he looked like a hedgehog because of the number of arrows on his body. He was lying on the ground. He tries to stand up, but he can't. He falls back down. I don't know the pain of one arrow, but if I look like a hedgehog, it means there's nothing left. No space left on my body. My body is just all spikes. Imam al-Hussein tried to stand up, he fell back down. He tried to stand up, he fell back down. All that was left was he opened his shirt a little. Umar ibn Sa'ad looked at Harmala bin Kahil. He said to him, Harmala? He said, yes. He said, what are you waiting for? Don't you see the whiteness of Hussein's chest? Shoot your arrow on the chest of Aba Abdullah. Aba Abdullah can hear all of this taking place. He's trying to rest. This could be Aba Abdullah's final moment. All of a sudden, from the tent, a young man runs out of the tent. And his auntie calls out, oh, Abdullah, come back, come back. Abdullah, son of Imam al-Hassan, young boy. Sayyidah Zainab's telling him, come back, come back. He's like, how can I come back when my uncle is alone? How? How can I come back when my uncle is alone? You know, he ran towards the body of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He sat by his uncle's body and they shot the arrow into him. When they shot the arrow at him, he turned to Imam al-Hussein. He said to him, uncle, are you proud of me? His auntie Zainab said, come back, come back. He said, auntie, how can I come back and I see Aba Abdullah alone? I tell you, that's Abdullah ibn al-Hassan. His story burns you. Nobody remembers that boy. Nobody remembers him. Try and never forget this boy. And that's why on the night of the 10th of Muharram, and on the day of the 10th of Muharram, When Imam al-Hussein calls out, هل من ناصر ينصرنا؟ لبيك يا أبا عبد الله لبيك. Here I am, Abba Abdullah, here I am. You know that cry of هل من ناصر ينصرنا؟ Whenever you hear it, say لبيك يا أبا عبد الله لبيك. Here I am. He called out لبيك. He called out هل من ناصر ينصرنا وهل من ذاب يذب عن حرم رسول الله وهل من مغيث يغيثنا. Listen to his lines. He says, is there anyone to help us? Is there anyone to defend the woman of رسول الله? Is there anyone to come out and support us and give us victory? The line هل من ناصر ينصرنا, it made Qasim cry. Qasim loved his uncle. We all love, we have an uncle we all love. Qasim loved his uncle. But it hurt him to see Abu Abdullah standing alone with no one next to him. He came towards his uncle. The narrations mentioned to us, he came. He said to my uncle, you just said هل من ناصر ينصرنا. I said to him, yes. He said, I am here to help you, my uncle. Can I go out and defend you? He looked towards him and he said to him, no, Qasim, no. You are a young man. I want you to look after your mother, Qasim. Then he said the most beautiful line. He said to him, Qasim, you are an amana for me. He's the amana of Imam al-Hasan. To which Qasim replied with a beautiful line. Qasim said to him, but Abu Abdullah, you are a wasiya for me. If I'm an amana, you're a wasiya. If I'm a trust, then you are the will which I have to honor of my father. Have you seen a 13-year-old speak like this? 12, 13 years old. Imam al-Hussein looked towards him, he said to him, Qasim, go back to your mother, do not worry, I don't want you, I'm proud of you. You know Abu Abdullah, it's as if when he's looking at Qasim, he remembers Imam al-Hassan, like we all remember Imam al-Hassan, like we all remember Jannat al-Baqiyah. Those of you who've seen that grave in Jannat al-Baqiyah of Imam al-Hassan, the grave that lies alone. People say, who is Ghareeb al-Ghuraba? Imam al-Hassan is Ghareeb al-Ghuraba. Imam al-Hassan is a stranger. Qasim went back towards his mother's tent. His mother looked towards him. She said to him, Qasim, why are you sad? What's wrong? He looked at her and he said to her, mother, my uncle doesn't want me to fight. She said to him, very well, take this small letter. Oh Qasim, go back to your uncle, Abu Abdullah. He returned back towards Imam al-Hussein. Imam al-Hussein looked at him and he said to him, Qasim, 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 you don't have to fight. He said to him, oh my uncle, have a look at this letter and read the letter. When Imam al-Hussein began to read the letter said, this is from your brother Imam al-Hassan. I will not be there on the day when you're a stranger alone in Karbala with no one to look after you and no one to defend you. But I want you to accept my sons as my representatives today. MashaAllah. Imam al-Hussein began to cry. He began to remember Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. Imam al-Hussein, do you know what he then done, brothers and sisters? He went into the tent. He took out a turban. He placed it on Qasim's head. He then gave him the sword. Then he made him wear the armor. But the armor was heavy for him. He's only a young boy. Just before he was leaving, he said to him, Qasim, go to your auntie Zainab. Bid Zainab farewell, Qasim. When he went to his auntie Zainab, his auntie looked at him. The line she said hurts. She said to him, is this Qasim or is this my brother Hassan who's in front of me now? Imam al-Hussein knew that this would remind her of her brother Imam al-Hassan. Is this Qasim or is this my brother Imam al-Hasan in front of me now? She looked at him and she said to him, the poet stayed, she said to him, oh Qasim, your uncle Abu Abdullah used to love your father more than anyone. Oh Qasim, when my mother Fatima al-Zahra died, it was your father who looked after me when I was young. Me and Kulthum were only young and it was your father who used to protect us. Ya Allah. They bid him farewell. He came out in the middle of the battlefield. The narrations mention that he hugged his uncle one final time. He came out in the middle of the battlefield. He fought valiantly. They were amazed at this young man and the way that he was fighting. But then his feet got stuck within. His shoe fell down onto the ground. The sandal fell. He tried to come down from the horse, but the horse pulled him one way. It pulled him another. Omar bin Sa'd had said, go out and strike him. They came out from every angle. They struck him. He called out, Aghithni, help me, my uncle. Abu Abdullah, he ran out towards his nephew Qasim. He came by Qasim's body. When he came by Qasim's body, he saw pieces of the body around the body of Qasim. Imam al-Hussein, there were some lines which he recited. He said, it hurts your uncle that you call him, but he can't answer you, or that he answers you, but that he can't help you, or that he helps you, but his help is of no avail to you. Imam al-Hussein did something which he never did with any other companion. He began to take off his robe. Why? To collect the pieces of Qasim's body from Karbala. He took the pieces of the body. He now returned back towards the tent. Sukaina, one narration mentions Ruqayya came out because she could see Qasim was lying down. She doesn't know what's wrong. She said, Qasim, Qasim, is this the time to sleep? Qasim, wake up, Qasim, what's wrong with you? Sayyidah Zainab walked towards Imam al-Hussein. She said to him, Abu Abdullah, what is it? Tell me, what is that robe that you have? What have you carried? He said, I've carried the pieces of Qasim's body. This together. He went back into the tent. But you know, when he went back into the tent, the narration mentions that Layla had Ali al-Akbar's body and that Ramla had Qasim's body. Both of them wouldn't cry. Sayyidah Zainab came out. She said, Abu Abdullah, do you mind leaving? He said to her, why? She said, because they want to cry, but they don't want to cry in front of you, Abu Abdullah.
I'm going to mention to you this final narration and I will end. On the night of the 11th of Muharram, their bodies were all lying on the ground. Qasim, Ali al-Akbar, Aun. This is for the lovers of Abu Abdullah, this narration. On the night of the 11th of Muharram, all of these bodies were lying on the ground. Imam Zain al-Abidin was in the tent with Bibi Zainab. Imam Zain al-Abidin looked at, Sayyidah Zainab looked at Imam Zain al-Abidin. She said to him, oh Zain al-Abidin, oh my nephew, I hear something breaking outside. I hear something breaking. I don't know what it is. Imam Zain al-Abidin narrates, Umar ibn Sa'ad on that late afternoon, early evening, had looked around at his soldiers. He had looked at them and he said, oh my soldiers, ride your horses and trample on the bodies of the companions of Hussein. However, Habib's tribe were present in Yazid's army. So Habib's tribe, who were with Yazid, they said, you've already killed Habib. We don't allow you to trample on his body. Muslim bin Awsajah, his tribe were in Yazid's army. They said, you've already killed our son. We don't allow you to trample on his body. Every companion had a tribe to protect his body.
So Umar bin Sa'ad said, okay, get your horses, sharpen their hooves, and trample on the body of the family of Husayn. But wait. Qasim's mother's tribe, Banu Fazara, were in Yazid's army. So when Umar bin Sa'ad's soldiers wanted to trample on Qasim's body, his mother's tribe said, no, you've killed our son, we don't allow you. Then he said, trample on Ali al-Akbar's body. Ali al-Akbar's mother, of course, related to the head of the army. They said, no, we don't allow you to trample on our son's body. You've killed him, but you can't trample. Trample on the body of Abu Fadl al-Abbas. But Abu Fadl al-Abbas's mother, Umm al-Baneen, is related to Shimr. So Shimr said, no, you don't trample on his body. He's from my tribe. We've already chopped his body. Umar bin Sa'ad asked the question, is there anybody that lies on the ground whose mother and father's tribe are not here to protect him? All of you know who? All of you know. And they said to him, only one body lies on the ground in Karbala whose mother and father's tribe are not here to protect him. They said to him, Hussein, son of Ali's mother and father's tribe are not here to protect him. MashaAllah. What do you think he then called out? He called out at this moment, oh horse riders, ride your horses, sharpen their hooves, and trample on the body of Abu Abdullah. They rode their horses on the body of Abu Abdullah while it lay on the ground. Oh Fatima, only one of your ribs was broken while they broke the ribs of Abu Abdullah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.